Welcome to Charged Up Studio Live, where small business owners get charged up for success. Are you a small business owner? Do you find yourself struggling through the many responsibilities that come with the title entrepreneur? Well, we're here for you. Charged Up Studio is hosted by Market Academy LLC, your prescription for what we call OPA. What is OPA? It's when you become so overwhelmed with the confusion that comes with business ownership that you become paralyzed and ultimately avoid doing anything in hopes it will take care of itself or you put it off till later. Does that sound familiar? I'm your host, Dan Olivo, and each week we bring a business professional eager to charge you up as they talk about the many things that keep you from moving forward with your small business. So are you ready to get charged up for success? Let's hit it. So welcome back to Charged Up Studio, where we uncover the hidden gems of business success and learn from industry experts. I'm Dana Olivo, your host, and today we're kicking off our season 5 monthly focus on the digital leap, navigating the future of business transformation. Today, we're diving into a topic that's reshaping the landscape of small businesses around the world. Over the past few years, artificial intelligence has proven to be a highly effective tool for helping small business leaders simplify processes and research. We have even featured experts over the past several weeks talking about all of the ways AI can assist in business growth. However, what happens if we utilize the power of AI to tap into the human intelligence quotient, or IQ, unlocking the capacity for competing and thriving in a rapidly evolving market, or the use of AI as a tool for gaining insight into the emotional quotient, the EQ, opening up the ability to further tap into our customers' emotions, forging deeper connections, and building stronger relationships. Imagine the powerful synergy this merging would create. Today's guest is an AI futurist, investor, and AI strategy consultant. His expertise lies in the intersection of AI, IQ, and EQ, getting his clients' businesses to achieve increased profits and ultimately get acquired at high valuations. He has founded companies spanning software development, outsourcing, and publishing, nurturing creative teams across the globe. Let's all give a charged up studio welcome to Mr. Garrick Tate with the Valhalla team.
Valhalla
team. Welcome, Garrick.
Thank you, Dana. That was one of the best introductions I've gotten. So thank you so much for the warm welcome, and I'm glad to be here.
No, I'm glad to have you here all the way from the Philippines.
So yes.
That is a trek right there. No, I'm excited about this interview. You know, I've always been fascinated on the IQ, the EQ side, you know, and, you know, our responses to what's happening in our environment,
you know,
as far as that's concerned. So I'm eager to see or hear what you have to say. So before we get started, I always ask my guests one specific question to kind of break the ice and give our audience a chance to get to know you a little better. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. If you were to go back and confront your younger self, what sage advice would you give him and at what age?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that I would tell my younger self that, specifically when I just came to the Philippines, I was 18 years old, and my brother and my father had started a publishing company, And that was our first company. It's still around today, still being ran now, luckily with a CEO who runs it better than we did. And we were putting all our efforts on onto the next businesses and growing our small collection from there. But I think that the advice that the younger version of me really needed was to just focus on getting better and to not so much worry about needing to get to any particular result, to just kind of trust in the process that if you focus on your skills, then everything that you are worried about happening is going to take care of itself. If you become the person that you're meant to be, if you become the person you're aiming for, then success comes naturally from there.
Very interesting. I love the way you put that because, I'm a firm believer, to not only, trust in your abilities, but also watch for those signs that may point you in that right direction.
Yeah, I think I was too results driven at that time. And being 18, you don't even know what results will be good or bad, or you're just gonna turn around. So just focusing a little more on yourself and growing yourself. The rest takes care of itself.
Well, to even start learning that at 18 years of age is a huge accomplishment. So anyway, so before we
Took
get
a
in,
while.
yes, before we get into our discussion, Garrett, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background with AI and technology?
Absolutely. So my story is came to the Philippines about been 10 years now, and it was our very first company, which was a publishing company, and built that up to a successful degree, and then jumped into software development. So our very first project ever was mobile applications and websites for our books and magazines and distributing those. And we wanted to take the next big leap, which was to build a software team. And that first software project we wanted to do was building a advertising optimizing engine. So a pretty ambitious project, very back-end heavy, and it incorporated quite a bit of machine learning. That was about almost 7 years ago now. And it was a success in a specific market size. So for advertising campaigns that weren't so big that were using a lot of CPA spending, but also not so small, they were just on the very basic like CPC side of things where they didn't have a lot of data to go off of. Our software outperformed other competitors by a decent margin. But we weren't able to get enough clients quite in that exact spot. And so we had this team of developers. We had this expertise in how to develop software and specifically how to develop software with AI. And we said, hey, let's double down and really go all out. I'm personally in love with software development. And for me, it's the coolest thing to be teaching the dumbest thing in the world, which is a computer, how to be smarter. And so been kind of all out for the last 6 years working on AI projects. And now in this last couple of years, obviously AI has really caught quite a big bit of steam with the advent of the Transformer architecture and these large language models especially. And so it's been a really good time to be going quite hard, which is what we're doing.
Absolutely. It's clear you have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this subject matter. So let's just kind of jump right into our discussion. Even though we have covered AI quite a bit on Charged Up Studio in the past, never to this and at the, from this point of view, when we start talking about the emotional intelligence and the intel, just how it plays within the way that we speak and the way that we teach the computer,
Yes.
as far as that's concerned. And I love the way you say that because a lot of people don't understand that, they're threatened by AI and they're threatened because they fear that it's going to take over them. and take over their jobs, take over their lives, whatever. But it's important that we re-emphasize what you're talking about, okay? Is the fact that we're teaching this computer. We are at it's our knowledge base that's actually feeding AI. And so we can learn from that, and we can actually utilize AI to enhance our own capabilities, right?
Absolutely. I, you know, what these AIs are doing is ultimately they're just amplifying us. They're amplifying what is we can do. And so your job is not going to be taken over by AI. It's going to be taken over by somebody using AI. You know, somebody else out there can become 10 times more effective with AI. And so there is a open question of, you know, are you going to become that person? And if not, well, you might be in a niche or in a market segment where, you know, we don't need 10 times more output. And so in that case, yeah, you might need to reskill, or you might need to double down and learn how to use AI in your chosen field. But a lot of fields, you know, let's say software development, for instance, we would love to have 10 times more code than we have right now. We want our developers to be AI empowered. We want, you know, we still wish we had more developers. You know, my software company specializes in hiring developers. That's quite difficult. So I think that a lot of markets are actually constrained by the supply side and not by the demand side. There are definitely some exceptions, but I think the most markets people are worried about really are need to take a sober look at the numbers. And when we look at the data in 2023, you know, unemployment did not rise company-wide. There was a study done of the Fortune 500 companies, and more of them had created new jobs rather than replaced jobs. Now, there's always going to be winners and losers, but I think on the net, on the bottom line side, it's been a net positive.
And let's reemphasize that point as far as, you know, as a software developer, being able to increase your coding capabilities by using AI, because what you're doing is you're actually drawing on the expertise of people and others that have utilized AI and fed that information into, you know, what do you want to call it? I call it the atmosphere, but you know.
I think of it as a massive word cloud. Like it's, you know, with it's not three dimensional, it's a thousand dimensional, but it's essentially a massive word cloud where it's connecting ideas and dots that we don't even think about, like a large neural brain.
Right. And that's where we start getting into the IQ side of things, the intelligence quotient, is because
Yeah.
what AI brings to the table in the sense of IQ is basically drawing on a mastermind of other experts within the industry to actually enhance our capabilities and enhance our abilities to expand, right?
Absolutely. You know, for me, IQ is there's quite a different lot of ways to break it down, but for me, IQ is your ability to adapt to change
Right.
and basically your ability to intake new data and also process that data very, very rapidly.
Exactly.
And that is something that, based on your habits, based on your focus, is something you have a lot of control over. And using AI, you can make yourself smarter because before we were in a state of information overload. Well, to be honest, we still are. But
Yeah.
now with AI, you can get the personalized information that you're looking for and get a second brain to not just be feeding you data, but also be processing that data based on what your goals are and what you're trying to achieve. I do think that people should be thinking about AI as a very helpful fresh grad that is very knowledgeable, you know, has all the book smarts, but you gotta tell them exactly what it is that you want and make sure they're well trained, treat them as somebody who you would have hires as an intern, but then you have the second brain now. Everyone has access to the second brain to make themselves smarter and to be moving faster.
Right. I love the way you put that. You know, that's, you know, I work with a lot of interns on both the high school and the college level, and I love the fresh ideas and the fresh, approaches that they bring to whatever project we might be working on. And, I use AI daily, probably 20, 30 times a day to help trigger some ideas that might be coming up. So that's extremely important. But let's move on to the EQ side, which is the emotional intelligence. And this is where we start talking about the human interaction. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. How does that fit into the AI enhanced small business strategy?
So these AIs are really just a mirror of everything we've embedded on the internet. The way that I think about it is, it's like it can be like a funhouse mirror where it's a little bit warped, but really is it's literally reflecting our ideas back to us. I'm not sure if your audience remembers AI Deep Dreams. It was an old TED Talk where using pre-transformer technology, but still with neural nets. They took the same software that could recognize birds, and you can imagine a neural net going left to right. People maybe have seen those nodes. They may not know exactly what those nodes represent, but they understand that there's an input image on the left. On the outside, it says, yes, this is a bird, or no, it's not a bird, right? And that neural net, you can play it in reverse and basically ask the machine, can you generate an image of a bird? And you would get these extremely funky, really psychedelic images of birds where it's like a face of a bird, but from every single possible angle, almost like an abstract painting. And so you get these AI deep dreams. And that is a reflection of what a bird is to the machine. Based on the data, it's a funhouse mirror of the concept. And we're seeing that same concept now playing out with abstract ideas, with emotional ideas. So the machines are a mirror to what we have been feeling. And so that word cloud is so massive that you have to obviously select which part of the word cloud you want to be accessing, because there are certainly some parts that take a very different stance on certain issues or have a very different tone. And so you need to be clear on what is it you're trying to achieve. But the incredible thing about these machines is, so long as you can give the instruction to it like you would give instructions to an intelligent but somewhat naive intern, if you can give that level of instruction, then it can achieve emotional tasks now. To a very, very large degree. I still think of it of these machines like old workhorses. So we still measure cars in horsepower. These machines are the new horsepower of our white collar work, and we have to treat them as such. We have to make sure we really know what the grooves are, what the automations we want to do with it, what are the things we're trying to accomplish, and get very, very clear on the inputs and outputs. But once that's defined, it can do emotional work. It can do really any level of complexity of the work, as long as the inputs and outputs are clearly defined.
And really, what it all boils down to is interpretation, and understanding that what we put in can be interpreted differently, by whoever else might be, receiving this information, or even just AI's interpretation of the information being put in. And where I'm going with this is when we start talking about when we're talking about the EQ, the emotional quotient, and things like that, and understanding our target market, okay, and being able to apprise or be able to determine what it is that our target market might really be needing or wanting. How can we utilize AI to get a better focus on where our marketing materials, our marketing message should be going based on who our target market is? So, kind of give me a little bit of insight on how you, as this expert, would go and utilize AI to help you do this.
Yeah, so for me, as a power user of AI, I think of it in two different modes. One is an exploratory thing. I call it a brainstorming buddy, treating AI as a brainstorming buddy, where I need to explore new ideas and I don't know what I don't know. And the other side is then the execution side. So on the brainstorming side, I will sit down with, typically ChatGPT, and ask it to behave like a marketing expert or a target market researcher. And I will ask it to mostly generate multiple ideas that I will use my insight to evaluate. I think that there definitely is a danger to a lack of quality control with these AIs. The skill that the white collar workers of the future will have that will be the most valuable will be their taste. So, actually, I'll just take a brief aside about it, this taste. It has become quite apparent to me working with designers that the people who get the best art from using AI are artists because they know what it is that they're looking for. They know how to describe what it is they're visualizing, and they know how to differentiate a good piece of art from a bad piece of art.
Right.
And so it's no longer about challenging their ability to make the brush strokes or take the pencil drawings, but instead their ability to differentiate the wheat from the chaff, differentiate the good from the bad, and their ability to articulate. So it's really been about the new skill of the future is your eyes and your judgment, and then your voice, your ability to articulate what it's you're going to be looking for. So where would I going with that? So I use the brainstorming assistant, putting into that mode, to mostly be generating the ideas and then still trusting my own insight and my own experience onto what's good and what's bad. There is a prompting technique called let's think about this step by step. And that's basically asking ChatGPT to, instead of giving you the answer first and then laying out your concept or defending your answer, instead give your reason first and then give the answer at the bottom. Because ChatGPT is very similar to us. It has commitment and consistency issues. That's its heuristic. It will justify what it said before. It's basically what it says next on the previous word in the sentence. So I won't try to have ChatGPT make the decisions for me, especially not early on in the process. You can't outsource the correct answer to it. You still have to be using your judgment and your insight through that process,
Right.
but you can ask its opinion at the end after you've thought through multiple variables. So that's how I use it as a brainstorming assistant, and those are the concepts and ideas that I have. And then when it comes to using it to actually create marketing materials, the first thing is I just need to be ultra clear about what my inputs and outputs are going to be. Am I writing cold email? Am I specifically writing 15 tweets? Am I doing something else? And only once I'm really sure about that, then I iterate on prompts to then generate that consistently. And then I'll plug it into a tool like make.com or Zapier, and I'll plug it into our backend system, whether we use
Right.
Notion, whether you're we use Notion, but whether you're using Notion or Airtable or
Right.
CRM or like
Right.
HubSpot or something to
Well,
automate those
yeah,
mechanisms.
and that's fascinating because the second part that you're talking about is what I'm very familiar with on the AI side. And give me these, these social media posts, or something like that. Give me this stuff. But I love what you were saying, and I think I understand what you were saying in the first part as far as feeding the actual information based on my expertise into ChatGPT or whatever you might be using, to kind of give it almost like a background, almost like a scenario. Okay. And let's take that scenario. Okay. Let's look at my target audience being micro business owners, small micro business owners. These are business owners that are under 10 employees. Generally they're less than 3 years old, and things like that. But as I'm feeding ChatGPT or AI information in there, should I be feeding them information as far as what I know as a strategist, they're struggling with. Okay.
Yeah, but
Or should I be just saying, okay, this is my target audience, that type deal? You know, one of the terms that I use all the time with my clients that resonates very well is, are you suffering from OPA? And when they
OPA.
ask me, what is
I'll have
OPA?
to ask.
I say, okay, OPA is when, as a small business owner, you become so overwhelmed with the amount of work and responsibilities that come with growing, launching, and growing a small business that you become paralyzed, not knowing what to do first, what to do next, etc. All right. And then ultimately, you tend to avoid doing anything, hoping that either it'll take care of itself or you will procrastinate and do
Your
it.
nervous system is shut, and
So,
you go to
exactly.
the fight, flight, or freeze, and you go into freeze mode.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, when I mention this to them, immediately they'll turn around. Oh, yeah, that's me. You know, so when I'm talking to ChatGPT, okay, should I be talking in the sense of that emotional response as a small business owner, or should I be talking about who my actual target audience is, which are the ones that are normally affected by OPA? Okay.
I think it would have stood for OPA. What does it stand for?
Overwhelm, paralysis, and avoidance.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I'm saying, you know, how should we be educating AI on what we're trying to pull out?
I think that it is very important to feed it that emotional context as well. Because if just imagine in our own society, how many different ways we approach problems. I hope this metaphor makes sense, but you could be in the philanthropic field and you could be a storyteller, putting out advertisements to raise money for charity. You could be on the logistics side where that's not about, you're not trying to be emotionally connected. You're just trying to make your spreadsheets maximize to like do the most good for the most number of people. So if we as humans can approach a problem any one of a dozen ways, obviously the AI can do the same. But in that moment, the whole point is to be producing material in order to connect with your audience on an emotional level. So of course you should be communicating with it with that emotional context. That would be the argument that I would put forward. There's a good feature that has been released called Custom Instructions. I'm not sure if your audience has heard of that before, but with custom instructions, it's essentially a meta prompt that exists over the entire conversation. And I think of them as personas, where you're describing how you want the AI to behave in that moment. And I inside my own business, created a database of custom personas, one for our social media marketing, one for our outreach efforts, one for other parts of the business, and use those personas depending on which operation they're being involved in. Now I think that with the paid version of ChatGPT with custom assistants or custom GPTs, that's made it significantly easier, but it's the same concept.
No, definitely, definitely. You know, like I said, I use ChatGPT, you know, 20, 30 times a day, you know, while I'm working, you know, and it's really, you know, more than anything, it's helped trigger my thought processes, you know, more than anything. So, how can small business owners strike a balance between AI insights and maintaining personal touch with customers?
The way that I think about that is there's two mental frameworks that I use when answering that question. The first is this concept of the last mile culture, which is kind of a goes off the myth of the last mile inside of logistics. So the reason why I call it the last mile myth is that, well, first, let me introduce the concept of the last mile. The last mile of transportation typically has the same amount of cost as all the rest of transportation. So, if you order shoes off of Amazon, in order to ship the shoes from China all the way to the warehouse in your state probably costs the same amount of money as it does for it to be delivered from the warehouse, you know, 30 blocks down into your local town. And the reason why I still call it a myth, even though there is factuality there, is that is because technology has continuously shrunk it, shrunk it, shrunk it. It will become the last block problem. It'll become the door, you know, to the living room problem. It's just continuously been shrunk. And we should be aiming for the same thing with emotional connections to the people we're trying to serve, whether they're employees or if you're doing building internal culture or your customers. You should be trying to systematize which company, which hotel chain does it. It might be Marriott, but they have a slogan of you automate the repeating so that you can specialize in the human or something like that. But this idea that you want to put special attention on the parts of the human element by automating everything else so you can be fully present and put your full capacity on those few human elements. But I do believe those human elements are becoming fewer but more intense and more important.
Yes.
So I do think that so often we decide, oh no, this takes the human touch because we're just not willing to put in the hard work to automate it because it takes a different kind of hat than we're used to. But by going through that and really automating a lot, you will free up the capacity on those few so that those few things you can't automate, you can put in your full presence and your full humanity. And I think that's how you get the most excited customers.
No, I fully agree with you, and I love the way that you had put that because, you know, and I agree when it comes to the customer experience or any kind of experience, that human element is now becoming more focused, you know, whereas before, you know, we could even just the simplest thing would allow or bring in that sense of belonging. Now, people are more focused on specific human elements. You know, it's more than just knowing, okay, who's your spouse or how are your kids doing, or you know, and understanding that type of deal when you're talking with somebody. But it's more along the lines of, you know, well, you know, last time we spoke, you know, you talked about how are you doing with this, you know, those kind of things. Focusing in more on where the problems, where the solution selling or whatever you want to call it is, and getting more personal, you know, stuff that can't be achieved simply by doing a, and I'm putting my hand out so Google doesn't pick up on it because I've got a Google thing, Alexa, right here. But that's not picked up easily by doing a little bit of research. Okay, we need that human element connection there that only you and whoever it is that you're talking to understands.
Even that example, I would still fight for like automate as much as you can. So for instance, one thing you can do is that if you have, you know, if a client books something on your Calendly, you can trigger an automation for an AI to read all your previous orders that you've had, recording those previous conversations, to then give you the takeaways in a short email like 2 hours before the call. So bam, 2 hours before the call, say, oh yeah, I remember. You know, Garrick was struggling with XYZ. Let me go in and like read up on that, and it just summarizes that thing. So you as a human are you automate the prep work that you would have to do in order to express that humanity. It's still just how much can I automate, how much can I support so that, you know, when it's game time, you're fully present, you're fully
I
there.
love that. I love that because right now I use a platform called Monday, which is my management, my CRM platform, you know, and stuff like that. And so I make notes of all of my calls, you know, and things like that. And I do record all of my client phone calls, Zoom calls, or whatever you want to call it, because I want to be able to go back. I transcribe them. I want to be able to go back, you know, and things like that. But I love what you're saying, you know, putting in that automation there to where's, you know, when I have a scheduled, another scheduled call or whatever, it can automatically go back and pull from the records that I've already put in and give me a summary. Because now what it is I go into Monday and look back at my last conversations and things
Takes
like that
time, yeah.
before I get on to, you know, to. So that's where that emotional side of things and that and also the IQ side of things, that's where it all comes into play is taking advantage. You've got all the information at your fingertips. Okay. The difference is learning how to use that information, whether it's
Yes.
through AI, whether it's through your CRM platform, whether it's through all of these tools that you're implementing if you're not using them correctly, you know. Is where the difference is going to be. So, in your opinion, what are some key skills or qualities that a small business owner or manager should develop to fully harness AI, IQ, and EQ?
One thing I want to say on what you were saying before we go into that next question,
Right.
I think this will segue nicely into it, is this is actually related to the second framework. I didn't have a chance to say it. The second framework for automating things and
Right.
building capacity for those human moments is you need to boil down your business to all of the inputs and outputs. So boil down your business to think of it like an engineer. You know, where do we get customers? How do we convert them? How do we fulfill? You know, how do we then handle, you know, the
Processes,
downstream elements? And boil all of those into the inputs and outputs of the different modules. And that is very hard, especially for earlier business owners, because the reality is you're doing whatever works, whatever makes sense, and you're not systematizing it. And that is understandable if you're living hand to mouth, you know, then you know I've been there. But if you stay there forever, you're never gonna build something that is anything more than a underpaid job. You know, you need to build something that is a you need to build something outside of your body that is adding value to the world, whether that's a team or it's a system or a process that you still run, but it needs to be outside of you and it needs to be systematized. And if you don't know where to start, you know, ask yourself what parts of my business are taking up most of my time that are pretty well repeatable. And those parts are probably going to need to be re-engineered so the inputs and the outputs are clear. You probably sometimes get emails, and sometimes you get form fill outs, and sometimes someone books on Calendly. Sometimes someone sends you a calendar invite without using the calendar. And so cleaning up those inputs to the few that actually make sense, and not trying to automate everything, but simplifying so that the inputs are really clear and then the outputs are very consistently clear is going to be the hardest part of using AI. Once those tools are put into place, like you're saying, like the CRM and Calendly and Monday.com, and you're using them consistently, and you're using them in similar ways, adding in the automation is really quite easy. It's the hard work before that that is really where most people are struggling, I would say.
And in response to the question I had asked before, I think this answers a great deal of that is, you know, the key skills that some of these managers and business owners need to understand is they need to understand what are their processes, what's in place, and understanding those inputs and outputs. You know, in order to get the most out of their AI efforts, as far as
Yeah.
that's concerned. Right. So
And
is.
the book that helped me the most with that was Work the System, I believe, by Sam Carpenter. I know Carpenter was his last name. But then there's also the OG book, which is the E-Myth, by I believe Michael Gerber.
E-Myth, yeah.
Yeah.
E-Myth. But you said work the system.
Work the System, yeah. Which is like a I think of it like a little nephew of the E-Myth that's a little more specialized, specifically the
Sam
systems
Carpenter.
mindset, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Sam Carpenter. Yes. All right. No, definitely. Work the system. So as AI continues to evolve, what trends or developments do you see on the horizon for small businesses in terms of AI integration?
You know, I think that at this point, Really, there hasn't been too many massive innovations since 2023, or since the beginning of 2023, for just how most businesses should be interacting with AI. But what I mean by that is really we're just in a state or in a stage where it's just about elbow grease and more people implementing it in better and better ways across more and more areas. And so the place I recommend people get started if they have the capacity, and if you already have a team, then get someone on your team to do this. If you don't have capacity, is to be playing around with the OpenAI playground just to get a little bit more of a sense about how it works on the back end. And then play around with a tool like Zapier or Make.com, and then start seeing what are little things you can automate inside of your business. And then start treating it like an assistant to your business. And I think that what does the future hold was your question. I think that there's definitely some major innovations right around the corner. Looking at OpenAI just released a video creating platform, I think called Sora. We're recording this in February 2024. That they are, still not giving open access to the whole world for, but they're giving it to researchers. And there's going to be more and more innovations. We start unlocking more multimodal, large, more multimodal. I can't call them large language models anymore because at that point they're multimodal. So, still transformer based AI models. But for as a small business owner, I wouldn't be too focused on that. I would just be more asking, how can I better implement what I already have, number one, and B, how can I be make sure my team is empowered so that each team member is producing, a multiple higher than they would without AI.
And understanding that the information that you get back in your AI environment, and things like that, is information that's been fed into the atmosphere or
Yeah, the
the AI
cloud.
cloud or whatever you want to call it. There are a lot of ethical considerations that we should be keeping in mind. You can't just go in and just copy and paste or copy and utilize whatever returns back to you, other than you turn around and you reword it, or develop a systemized approach that is based on your own expertise. And this is where we talk about, your expertise or your professionalism is what's going to feed what comes out of the AI technology that you're using. So we're coming up on the end of another Charged Up Studio, and I do have one other question. Your vision for the future of small business in regard to AI and EQ and IQ, okay? What opportunities do you see for those who embrace these technologies?
I think that right now we're going through a massive disruption as different businesses are being revolutionized with AI because this technology is just so flexible. It's essentially allowed us to unlock in a systematized way totally different approaches to essentially creative work before we needed humans to do copywriting. We needed humans to create art. We needed humans to design strategies, and now all of that is up for grabs if we approach it in systematized ways. But the open AI is no longer as open as their name would suggest. There are a lot of open source models out there that are quite interesting. Llama is the biggest, and there are some versions that build on top of that, such as Orca or Vicuna. Actually, if you want to build basically your own ChatGPT that you own the data for entirely, I definitely recommend your listeners check out Vicuna. But this being recorded in February 2024, I'm sure it's going to be continuing to change. But even though OpenAI is no longer as open as it was before, there's still lots of open source versions of this. And even if there wasn't, point is these
large companies or go-to-market strategy has been something really, really cool, which is democratizes so everyone has access to it. Now, there's probably some models out there that we don't have access to, but truth be told, I'm not convinced those models are better because these models have gotten so good, not in spite of being released to the public, but because they've been released to the public, which has not been how most people have been predicting the AI revolution would occur. And so it really is an incredibly level playing ground if you put on the beginner mindset and are willing to sit down and really use this in your own way. And I just guess I would recommend to small business owners to still keep in mind what are you an expert in, what's your unique value, and then how can you amplify that with AI, and how can you double down on that with AI, and know that you have an advantage where because you're smaller, you can move faster than the big guys. So get at it.
No, and I appreciate it. You know, it's been extremely enjoyable having you and talking to you, Garrett, because you bring a different level to the AI conversations, you know, and taking into account how we as small business owners can utilize this technology to raise our ability to compete out there in a market that is saturated, you know, right now. So, as I said, we're coming up on the end of another Charged Up Studio. And thank you, Garrett, for joining us today and shedding light on how we can fully capitalize on the power of AI technology as we grow our businesses. So, how can our listeners reach you should they wish to?
Yeah, thanks for Dana for having me. This was a lot of fun. And for your audience, I would say if you're looking for a partner to increase your business's valuation or just need help building a software application, you can just reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can also see my software development company, Valhalla.team. And that's if you want to build a product with AI. But if you just want some consulting or want to see how you can implement AI in your non-technical business, just reach out to me on LinkedIn.
And we'll be including all of Garrett's contact information in our show notes once we get this posted. So that concludes our podcast for today. So please leave a review on any of the streaming platforms you're listening to us on, or go to our Charged Up Studio Facebook page and leave a review there. Charged Up Studio is the product of Marketatomy and Marketatomy Academy, the e-learning system specifically designed with the micro business owner in mind. For more information and to register for any of our courses, go to Marketatomy, MarketatomyAcademy. And once again, we'll be back next week with another exciting guest. And thank you once again, Garrett. And the rest of you go out and have another charged up week. Talk to you later. You've been listening to Charged Up Studio Live, the podcast with you, the small business owner in mind, with your host, Dana Olivo. Join us every Tuesday as we bring you valuable tips and insights into many of the topics you don't know about growing a successful business. Please leave us a review on any of the streaming platforms you are listening to, or visit us on the YouTube or Facebook page and leave a review, or subscribe so you don't miss another episode. You can also support us through Patreon by visiting our website, chargedupstudio.live, and click on the Patreon link. Until next week, go out and have a charged up week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.